Remember the mother. Now, this is something I want to explain to you now, because we've already entered the New Testament. The mother of the Old Testament, all the things that framed her out and how she's formed and all the clues. As we go now into the New Testament, you see it was real wide out there, the mother and what she was doing. It now is going to be come through this funnel and this channel, this thinner channel. It's all going to come down like into a funnel, into a point. And as it blasts into the New Testament ever so subtly. How can you blast subtly? Blast in my eyes, in spiritual eyes, it's subtle. Because unless you're seeing and noticing what the mother did all through the Old Testament, you won't notice that Pharisees and Sadducees show up in the New Testament. So, very important to understand that the mother now is going to take all of the things she's done and she's going to pour it into a false religious system. This false religious system that the mother is operating today is going to operate in the realm of false teaching, and it's going to mix with the government. It mixes with the government. The governments then will be run, of this world, will be run by the mother. Very fascinating. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 12. We left off there yesterday. And let's see now, is this false religious system that the mother is headed over with all of the doctrine from the Old Testament, let's get details on how to identify it here in the New Testament, because it is ever so subtle. And again, the two mixed together. Think of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, Judas Iscariot, is not the Pope. It is Judas Iscariot, and he's a world leader. The false prophet is the Pope, that's clear, and he puts them into power. They work together. You see that? False prophet putting the Antichrist into power. That's what I'm telling you. So right here, the mother's preparing for that as 2,000 years ago. She enters the New Testament. She's going to put together false religion with government. Watch it. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. This is lesson number 26, too. Lesson number 26, Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at verse 1. I know we did it yesterday, but let's review it. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the court. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously the Son of God, the perfect embodiment of truth. Watch what happens when truth shows up. And his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. The Pharisees saw it. Religious leaders of the day go after the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did? Did I start my stopwatch? Yes. Okay. Verse 3, But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? The biggest problem that people of all ages, from Genesis to Revelation, every dispensation God has given unto man, is the failure to know what God said. And today, there is absolutely no excuse. If you're English speaking, you can get yourself a King James Bible and you can know what God has said to you. But how would you like the Lord to ask you that? But he said unto them, Have you not read? You don't want to ever have that asked you. Have you not read? Okay, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. What the heck was that? He went into their synagogue. I heard a big noise. Y'all hear that? He went into their synagogue. Verse 10, And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out, religious leaders, and held a council against him. Whenever you get religious leaders today holding a council meeting, no good can come of it. and held a council against them how they might destroy him. So you have religious leaders holding a council meeting how they can go destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? All right, same chapter, look at verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, religious leaders, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Oh, so he's working for the Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ is accused here of working for Beelzebub, which is Satan, the prince of the devils. Okay, oh really? Notice what religious leaders, what the mother system is designed to do to the real embodiment of truth, accuse you that you're working for the devil. And when does that culminate? You better believe it. Do you know why everybody is shocked when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? We're going to see that Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet, has everybody convinced in the world that what is coming back from heaven is the devil. They don't know that the person in the temple is the devil. And that's why all the tribes of the earth mourn. Uh-oh, here he comes back. And if that's the Lord Jesus Christ, then who's this in the temple? So he convinces everyone in the trib. You see, complete opposite. Complete opposite. No, the Lord Jesus Christ returning on the horse is the Lord's Christ. God the Father's Christ, the anointed one, as Revelation says. And the anointed one, Satan, is the anointed cherub. He's going to put his man in that temple, which is Judas Iscariot. Verse 33. Either, same chapter, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. How appropriate. How appropriate, huh? You notice how truth, when it spreads in this such a dark, sinful world, when the light of blazing truth of this book comes in, is all authority, not needing any other. Look, if you're English, all you need is an English Bible. If you're Greek, I highly suggest you go get a Greek Bible. If you're Hebrew, you need to read a Hebrew Bible. If you're English, God has given you his word in your language, despite what the heretics tell you. It's perfect, it's pure, and it does not need to be clarified, corrected, doubted, or even thunk about. Thunk it. Don't think it at all. You see that? That's what happens when you start to doubt this book and think it's not the final authority, as the heretics tell you. It's all authority. All authority. And when you doubt that, God scrambles your brains and you turn into crazy people. Okay, so look at verse 34. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, oh my gosh, look at what the Lord Jesus Christ calls those people there. O generation of vipers, how can ye, comma, look at this, being evil. You see that? Unsaved people are evil, not good, evil. And how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A verse that I often refer unto. I can tell what's in someone's heart when I listen to their mouth speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Look at verse 38. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Okay, he calls them an evil and adulterous generation. That's religious people. So the mothers, false religion, are evil. You got it? Matthew chapter 15. Because what do you think the mother did when we got to the New Testament? Took a vacation? No. And just appears in Revelation 17? Okay, Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. There's trouble right there. Whenever you're preaching truth, you're going to have people that come up representing the mother. Because the mother is now being manifested, listen to me, in the New Testament as a false religious system. Before, it was all that idol worship and all the things you could blatantly see, and that was truly a false religious system. But it is more sly now, because it's more counterfeited now. You actually have human beings calling themselves priests, and I know it was in the Old Testament, but this is different. It's more subtle. It's more bewitching. It's more beguiling. It's more the mischief. It's more witchcrafty, if I can say it like that. Okay, it's just horrible. Look at verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do ye transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now, this to me is a phenomenal passage, because being raised a former Roman Catholic, okay, which is run by who? Who runs Roman Catholicism? Think of this. Does Rome run the Roman Catholic Church? Does the city of Rome run the Roman Catholic Church? Vatican City runs the Roman Catholic Church. Got it? Does the city of Rome run the Vatican? No. The whore, the mother, is Vatican City. It runs Roman Catholicism. Gosh. Okay. Now, whenever they get together, when I was a Roman Catholic, they have all these traditions you have to do. And their traditions are equal with Scripture. Man says this, God says this, they're both one and the same. And the priest will tell you what's right. Verse 2 of Matthew 15, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" What an answer. Don't you just love the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I love him so much. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's everything to me. And when I see him back here, the way he speaks to people and burns them with that book, I love it. Okay? Verse 3, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Good question, huh? "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now watch that. You notice how the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Think for a moment. Watch how the mother has deceived people today with that same principle. There is 17 lessons on my website there regarding all authority. Just from the scriptures alone, from Genesis to Revelation, how God commands and what he tells us about his book. God Almighty says it's pure. God Almighty calls it all authority. He told Titus, right, to rebuke these things with all authority. What do you think Titus was going around with, Life magazine? All authority, right? But then someone comes along with their traditions of the Reformers, of the Calvinists, of the Baptists, and say, "We have to refer unto the Greek and Hebrew as the final authority." God says his word is pure, but all these other heretics will tell you no. You see how the same principle is? They transgress the commandment of God by their tradition. You see that? This book says it's pure, but I got heretics out there telling me, but their traditions have always told them to go to the Hebrew and Greek. Do you see that? That's what the mother's doing. Verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." That's what God commanded. But ye say, but you guys say differently. Just like today, God says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." This book right here is pure. Doesn't need to be clarified, doesn't need to be explained, doesn't need to be found out what the real meaning of the word is in the Hebrew and Greek, but ye say it needs to be clarified. Wrong again. See how great this book is? Verse 5, "But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Mark it down. If you never believed anything I've ever said to you in your life, you believe this from this book. Do you get it? You will make the word of God of no effect when you add tradition to it to cancel out what God says. When you take your traditions that are contrary to the book, you make the word of God of none effect. Look at that. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, see how it's none effect? It doesn't affect you. There's no effect. When God says his word is pure, when God promises to preserve it, when God promises to get you his book, the mother system will make all of that of none effect when you add tradition to that. You see that? When you add the traditions that, well, the reformers always said, or these people always said, or we got to do this, you make God's book of none effect when you add the opinions of men to it. Got it? Now, hold your hand there because we're coming back to Matthew 15. But since I'm going to show you how you can have the Word of God completely affect you positively. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You want to be like a Thessalonian. Look at chapter 2, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God will have an effect upon you when you believe it to be the Word of God. And by definition, the Word of God is pure. By definition, in the Bible itself, the Word of God says it is all authority. Now, it's a faith issue. Are you going to believe the Word of God, or are you going to take your traditions and make this book of none effect by your tradition and the books and wisdom of men who are fools? See? Go back to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 7 now, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, see, hypocrite, it's total hypocrisy. You know what's hypocritical about it? People out there hold up a King James Bible. Listen to me. And listen to me good. They hold up a King James Bible, and this is what the mother teaches. And they say, this is the Word of God. Well, if you say that, the Word of God by definition is pure. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is totally flawless. Do you understand this? It is all authority. So then when you say that and you get money given to you based as you're saying that, but you don't really believe it because you then don't believe that and you go to the Hebrew and Greek that you don't even understand and you call the Hebrew and Greek all authority. Do you see what they're doing? Listen to me. This is what they're doing. And this is what the mother does. When you say the King James Bible needs to be clarified in this section by the Hebrew and Greek, and that the Hebrew and Greek are final authority, not the King James Bible. When you leave the English language, because you're English, and you go to the other languages, you don't even know Hebrew and Greek fluently. You see that? You don't know it. You don't know it at all. You're not fluent in it, nor are your listeners. So because you claim something else to be all authority, the Hebrew and Greek, what you do then to this book, okay? It's no longer all authority, but here's the problem. You don't have an authority. You are the authority. You become your own authority because think about it. You reject the King James Bible as all authority, so you flee to these other languages and say they are all authority, but you don't understand those other languages. You don't even have the Hebrew and Greek manuscripts in your possession. And if you did, you couldn't read them. You see that? But you claim they're all authority. But you don't even know them. So guess who's the authority in people, those people's lives, those heretics' lives? They are their own authority. They can judge what it should be. They sit back and change verses to suit their needs. That's what's happening. That's exactly, and that's hypocritical. So when they hold up a Bible and say, this is the Word of God, and people give them money for that, they are making money off of you suckers out there telling you they have a book is all authority. And is no, they're telling you a book is the Word of God when they don't believe it. Because if it's the Word of God, that's capital G-O-D. The Word of God is perfect, you big dummies. You got it? So if you don't get this, you're just as big adult as ever walked on the face of the earth. The Word of God is perfect. It's pure. So don't make a living. At least say the truth. This King James, this is what they believe. This King James Bible, it's pretty good, but it's filled with errors, but still giving money. At least tell the truth. Don't say you have the Word of God when you don't believe it. You got it? They're hypocrites. That's why he says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amen to that. Their commandments are the doctrines. Their doctrines are the commandments of men. They follow history and what the reformers did and what Baptists did. How about let's just start doing this? How about this as an option? How about we just follow the word of God? How about that one? Is that not simple? Huh? It's correct. This book is all you need, because the scriptures say it's all you need. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Where does it say in there I need to read history books? I mean, good night, nurse. How did Paul the Apostle get along? He didn't have all of the history books today that we have to read. Verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. See how the mother's deceiving everybody? Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? See how many people lately, the past few days, the heretic Eric John Phelps has said he's highly offended. So were the Pharisees. You get it? When the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, the Pharisees were offended. When Christ in me tells truth, only heretics will get offended. Only religious leaders will get offended. And let me tell you what, why it's such a sin to be offended. When you're offended, you're taking it personally. I'm offended, I'm highly offended. That's personal. Listen to the scriptures. Go search this verse in the Old Testament. Great peace have they which love thy law, that book, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. No, I'm never offended. Never. Because that's personal. I have such peace because I know this book. Nothing offends me. I can be angry, but that doesn't mean I'm offended. So when someone on their lips says they're highly offended, like that heretic Phelps did, you know he knows nothing. Nothing about this book. Because the Pharisees were offended, and watch what the disciples did in verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Oh my gosh. How the words of the wise are as goads. Boy, that sticks a lot of people, doesn't it? Blind leaders of the blind. I have been just dealing with them the past 4 or 5 days. Blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. They're in the ditch. I love this book. You know what? Being with the Lord Jesus Christ and having fellowship with him, it's a self-entertaining contained unit. I don't care. But I got to explain something. This is a perfect time, and I'm going to take 30 seconds to do it. Mark it down. Go with me to Galatians. It'll take more than 30 seconds. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1, because it's so appropriate right now. It's so regarding how the preaching and 1 Thessalonians. Galatians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. Mark this down. Never forget it, because it's been told to me as of late a lot. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 1. People tell me lately, well, you know, these people are getting really angry and you're upsetting a lot of people and they're offended. Mark this to every one of you listeners who listens to these studies. Mark it down. I don't care about one human being on earth liking what I have to say. I don't care if I please one human being on earth. And now I'm even talking to the brethren, the ones who love the teachings. I'm not teaching the scriptures to please anybody. Not any man. I don't care if zero people go to the website. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. Because look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm not trying to please any human being when I preach. I teach what's there. You know who I do want to please? You know who I live to please? My Heavenly Father. Because you know what? He did everything for me at Calvary. You know why I live for the Lord Jesus Christ, my King, my Lord, and my Savior? Because He's the one who died at that cross for me at Calvary. You know why I love pleasing them? You know why I love not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whereby I'm sealed unto the day of redemption? Because He's my great teacher. That is why I teach, to please them. I want their approval. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I study this Bible every day for hours to please Him. And I don't really care who likes it. And I mean that with every cell in my body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, my Heavenly Father has allowed me to be put in trust with the gospel of His dear Son, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. There you go. Mark it down. So, but the mother of Revelation 17 would have you to please men and to surround yourself with men and advisors and your peers and please all them. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 1. Watch the mother operate again. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. Uh-oh, here we go again. And tempting desired Him that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites. Mark it down. The mother's system will be exposed by truth as being a system filled with hypocrisy. O ye hypocrites. Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And He left them and departed. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now watch this carefully. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the false religious system of the day. Remember, I know it's the great city, because the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth through the entire New Testament is a false religious system. Religious system. The city of Rome doesn't push a religious system. Vatican City pushes a religious system. Watch this. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Mark it down. The mother today, listen to me, is operating in the realm of doctrine. False teaching. Doctrine is teaching that you are to learn to apply to your soul. Doctrine, false doctrine. The religious system today has doctrine out there. And if your doctrine is not sound, Paul tells Timothy, in doctrine, uncorruptness. They're not to be corruptible. No corruption at all in doctrine. You're not to be full of any heresies. You're pure in doctrine. And that only happens when you follow God Almighty's commandment on how to be established in the faith. You see, that's what happens. This commandment has so many wonderful fruits that come out of it. As God the Holy Spirit works the life of Jesus Christ out through your flesh, producing these fruits of sound doctrine. Okay? So, the mother operates today in doctrine in a religious system. Now, we're going to see how that doctrine also then gets into the world. You understand? It starts here in a religious system. All right? The doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I mean, absolutely phenomenal passages here. Look at verse 13 now. Verse 13. Watch this closely. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now this is phenomenal. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" See, that's the gospel of the day. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He answered, he said it with his mouth, he confessed it with his mouth as the Jewish program required, recognizing who the Lord was as the Christ, the anointed one, of the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Okay? Now, right here, the false religious system today that comes out of Vatican City, which is called Roman Catholicism. I mean, where's the head of Roman Catholicism? Is he living in an apartment in Rome on Spaghetti Street? Huh? What are you, nuts? The Pope lives in Vatican City. Okay? And it's a religious system. And watch this. That false religious system, they tell you that Peter was their first pope, that Peter's the rock on which their church is built. That's their doctrine. Okay? But watch the scriptures alone. Verse 17 again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Rome teaches, the Roman Catholic Church teaches. When I say Rome, I'm referring unto Roman Catholicism. Okay? That's where the teachers come from. The doctrine is formed out of the Vatican. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Peter is the rock, and that upon him, Christ will build his church. That's why they say Peter was the first pope. Okay? That's what they teach. And they say upon Peter, this church is built. And then we're going to see that they have statues over there of Peter with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that he's the first pope. There's some problems with Peter being the first pope we're going to see in the passage. Well, number one, in another part of Matthew, he had a wife. Because his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Means he had a wife. Okay? All right. Now we'll keep reading. That's not what the verse says. The verse is not saying that thou art Peter and upon this rock will I build my church. Peter just got done saying what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That confession Peter made is the rock. Because in the scriptures, the rock is Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians. Hold your hand there and go to 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians. Remember back in the Old Testament we read, their rock is not as our rock? Yeah, that's right. Okay, because they're so false. 1 Corinthians. Go with me now to chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, Ephesians says. He's the rock of offense and stumbling that was placed in Israel, Romans says. He's the rock. Okay? Do you really think that the Roman Catholic Church has bamboozled at least 1 billion of its members, and perhaps billions prior to, by saying that Jesus Christ is the rock? I'm sorry, by saying that Peter was a rock. See that? See when you say something wrong? Through a mistake, your ears catch it, but the heretics don't catch what they say. Thank you, Lord. Now watch this. Verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the rock there is the confession Peter just made, saying that Jesus Christ was that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That confession is the rock. His confession that you are the Christ, you're the rock. And that's where the church is built. And what do you think the church is built on, Peter? Watch this. If the church is built on Peter, let's see how that fares in the passage. Okay, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, which is Jesus Christ, I will build my church. That confession he just made. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, Peter, that's true, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Right there, that is true. Peter, as the leader of the 12, was given these keys to bind and loose things on earth that would be bound and loosed in heaven, because as God the Holy Spirit filled him at Pentecost, he was more than capable to do it easily, because it was God through him doing it, okay? But Roman Catholicism, which comes again from Vatican City, not from the city of Rome, Roman Catholicism pours out of Vatican City, they tell you, see, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Because they say Peter was the first pope. Keep reading. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. How about that? It's going to be the religious system that's going to put to death your Savior. The religious system, the system of the mother. Now, look at verse 22. When Peter hears about Calvary, because he didn't understand some things, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, remember where Rome tells you Peter's the first pope, and that the church was founded on Peter? Okay, look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, guess what? If Peter's your first pope, you got Jesus Christ right here calling your first pope Satan. Do you got it? Do you see what they're doing? They don't even read in the passage. Before you pick Peter as your first pope, their Roman Catholic Church, you should have figured out that later on in the passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was calling your first pope Satan. And by the way, he denies him there before he goes to the cross. You don't want to place your faith in a man. And that's why every Roman Catholic pope today who calls himself the vicar of Christ, Jesus Christ on the earth, God on the planet, that's what they say he is a lion of the pit of hell. And who do you think is Roman? I say it again. Who do you think is running Roman Catholicism? Rome or the Vatican? Okay. So anyways, it's a great passage there. Phenomenal passage. The mother here would have you think this is a big one. Because guess what? The mother winds up in Revelation chapter 17 as being Vatican City. And here in the New Testament, this is where the mother births that doctrine. The mother goes back hundreds of years later after this happened. Goes back and says, you know what? Because people are such dolts today, I'm going to say that Peter is the first pope and that we will build a church on him, and he has the keys of the kingdom of heaven to bind on earth and bind in heaven. You see that? Check it out. That's what they teach. So the mother here really gets things going. But it's not like the mother just started her. She's been going since Genesis. But she converts it all here into a system of religion that's going to then mix with government. Pretty fascinating, if you ask me. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 3. I spent time on that because that part was very important, especially the traditions of men and the hypocrisy. 19, verse 3. You know what I love so much? You know what? Hey, I just love the fact of teaching truth. I'm telling you, people are getting so angered. I don't care, because the mother's getting angry because of... Look, I've always done ministry in person and have suffered persecution there at that level. Now that you put it on the internet, good night, nurse. I mean, yes, people are loving it. Ooh, but the threats, it's going to get worse. I love it. Bring it on. Just bring it on, okay? The heretics hate it. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, again, religious leaders, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Notice once again, the religious leaders of the day have no clue of what's going on in the Bible. So when I got people today under the banner of I'm a Protestant, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Calvinist, and they don't have a clue what's going on in the scriptures. You see how the mothers got them? You see that? It happens all the time. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 12. Matthew chapter 21, 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. You see what the mother does? When truth is being proclaimed, heretics and the mother system, which produces heresies, will be sore displeased at what they hear. Verse 16, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? The religious leaders say to Christ, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, I hear it. Have you never read? Once again, a rebuke of not knowing the scriptures. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? You ever read that there? Huh? By the way, for all the heretics lately, have you never read, thy word is very pure? Therefore thy servant loveth it. Now, this is the most fascinating section we're coming up. Just doing a time check. Verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, look at this. Here is, you mark it down, between the mother, which is run by Satan. There is a war between God Almighty and Satan, and the issue is authority. Where is authority today? Do you want authority to be in the books of men? And the traditions of men? Or do you want authority to be in the absolute pure word of God? Take your pick. Verse 23, look at verse 23. And he was coming, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? The issue is authority. Not mine, not any man. This book. Not the books of men. This book, of the making of many books, there is no end, Solomon said. Man makes book after book after book, so he looks smart, because the Greeks seek after wisdom. Gentiles want wisdom. They want us pure. That's how the mother appeals to Gentiles, through the pride of life. I've done all these books, and look at my library. Garbage. Verse 24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Watch my great Savior. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Simple question. And they reasoned with themselves. Right there is the problem. They're reasoning with themselves. Saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You know that had to incense them. They were infuriated after hearing that, being mocked. Verse 33, watch this now. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, that's the prophets of the Old Testament, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, that's more prophets of the Old Testament, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. God has given you a parable here through the Lord Jesus Christ, telling you, in verse, certain householder which planted a vineyard. The householder is God Almighty. He plants a vineyard, that's the nation of Israel, and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen. The husbandmen is the children of Israel and went into a far country. He then is in heaven, watching how they bring forth this stuff of his vineyard. Verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen. That would be the prophets, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen, that's the children of Israel, took his servants, the prophets, and beat one and killed another and stoned another. That's what they did to the prophets. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Killed all their prophets that was sent to them in the Old Testament. But here the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. But last of all, he, that's God Almighty, the husbandman, sent unto them, Israel, his son. The Lord Jesus Christ saying, they will reverence my son. So God sends his son unto Israel. But when the husbandmen saw the son, that's Israel, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. Do you see how money will drive you absolutely crazy? Yeah, they were right. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is the heir. And as the heir of God and the Son of God, he will inherit everything in the world. Like Solomon ran the world in that kingdom. But we, if we kill him, we'll seize on his inheritance. Money had so blinded them that they did not know, had they accepted their Messiah, they would have shared in the riches of the Gentiles being poured into Jerusalem as they accepted their Messiah and Israel was elevated to kingdom glory status with the Lord Jesus Christ reigning there. But no, money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. So if they killed Jesus Christ, there had to be something evil about it. And if there's something evil about it, the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's always a buck involved. That there's something evil. You mark it down, there's money involved if it's evil. Now, money's not evil, it's the love of money is evil. God uses money to do good purposes. But when there's evil doctrine being taught, they kill the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, saying, they will reverence my son. I'm sorry, verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard Israel and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, what is he going to do? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. That little flock, that little Jewish flock here, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Peter and the 12, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. He's the stone, he's the rock. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, the leadership of Israel at this time, and given to a nation singular. That's the little flock. That's Peter and the little flock. It's not the Gentiles. It's given to the little flock, that nation within the nation, because it's singular, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That's Christ. But on whomsoever it shall fall, Christ, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. They got that much. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. We're going to run out of time. I love you all in the Lord. Remember, the mother is involved in killing of Jesus Christ, and a buck was involved. It was driven by envy. Pilate knew they had delivered him for envy, and they envied him here that he was the heir. You got it? Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. We'll continue on with the mother's involvement in false religion and the government simply to destroy truth. It's going to get worse. Love you all in the Lord. Farewell.